Hello, and welcome to the final Q&A session for our MOOC on Understanding Superstructures. The level of social interaction has not declined as much this week as last week, but there have been relatively few questions. However, there have been some very positive comments on the course, for which we're very grateful. The steps on unknown unknowns and emergent behaviour have caused some comment this week, so I thought we could explore them a little further. We have put together some questions about emergence, which Shirley is going to pose and I will try to address. So, Shirley, over to you.
Hello everyone. Let's start with, what is emergent behaviour?
It's behaviour described by emergent properties, or properties that appear with a certain level of system complexity, but are not present or do not exist at lower levels of complexity.
Can you give an example?
Yes, of course. In step 5.9, I used life and consciousness as examples. But an alternative example would be the properties of water. Water is made up of two elements, hydrogen and oxygen, which at room temperature are gases. But when combined, unexpected behaviour emerges. First, the combination process is explosive. But afterwards, the resultant water is a liquid at room temperature. So the more complex substance, liquid water, has properties that are not present in the simpler component gases. That's looking at water from the perspective of a chemist. You can also look at water from the perspective of a physicist and observe emergent properties. Pressure and temperature are emergent properties. We know that water molecules in a cloud of steam are whizzing around randomly, bouncing into one another and the walls of the container. This is the kinetic theory of gases. If we add energy to the steam, for instance by heating it, then the molecules will gain kinetic energy and move around more quickly. The properties of pressure and temperature emerge when we zoom out from the molecules and consider the system as steam in a container. The temperature of the steam is a measure of the average kinetic energy of the molecules, while the pressure is the average force with which the molecules hit the walls of the container. And these properties are only apparent when we consider the higher level system.
Okay, but why does this matter to us when we are designing structures?
In step 5.9, I highlighted that engineering structures are constructed by people for people. We are complex systems, both from a biological perspective as individuals and from an anthropological perspective as a society. So the interaction of a structure with people results in a complex system that is likely to have emergent behaviour that we would not expect from our knowledge of the components of the system. Sometimes this behaviour is classified as an accident, an incident that happens unexpectedly and unintentionally. However, there is another way in which engineering structures may exhibit emergent properties. Because in just the same way as the temperature and pressure of steam at the macro scale is not apparent at the molecular scale, the deformation and fatigue performance of structures at the macro scale is not readily apparent at the molecular scale. You would not expect the shuffling of an imperfection in the regular arrays of atoms in a metal to result in an aircraft crash. But that's what happens in fatigue failure. It's how the process leading to a Griffith-type fracture gets started. Look back to steps 4.10 and 4.11 for a refresher on fatigue and Griffith fracture theory, and also last week's Q&A discussion on dislocations.
But we know about the stains, so why have you focused on them?
Yes, we do know about the examples I've used, but in most cases we were initially unaware of either the properties at the lower or higher level of complexity, or that they were connected, such as in the series of comet aircraft crashes in step 5.10. And in some cases, we have understood that they are connected, but not the physics behind the connections. So, for instance, in the case of material failure, we have molecular dynamic simulations that allow us to understand the behaviour at the molecular level, and we have empirical laws for crack growth. But we don't know how to model the transition from the molecular to the macro scale. So we can design safe structures using our macro-scale observational evidence of material behaviour in the laboratory and large factors of safety. However, we would like to be able to design materials that are fatigue-resistant, but it's difficult without a complete understanding of how the emergence occurs. Now, we're back to last week's discussion on cracks.
One or two learners have asked if you have written a book on this subject.
No, but there is an excellent book by Manuel Delanda called Philosophy and Simulation, The Emergence of Synthetic Reason. We'll provide a link in the transcript. There are no equations, and it's written for the layman, so don't be put off by the title. He explains that emergent properties can be established by elucidating the mechanisms that produce them at one scale, and then these emergent properties become the components of the phenomenon at a much larger scale. This allows engineers to construct models that take for granted the existence of emergent properties at one scale to explain behaviour at another. So, for example, we don't need to model molecular movement to predict heat transfer, or to model dislocation movement to predict fatigue failure. It's called mechanism independence, but not everyone agrees with him.
Thank you, Ian. Any final comments?
Just to thank everyone who has stuck with us to the very end. Well done. We know we have given your grey matter a workout, so I appreciate the many positive and supportive comments that learners have made. We have also taken on board the critical feedback. Finally, I'd like to acknowledge the support of Phil, Sandra and Dennis here in Liverpool. Phil is our producer-director and sound recordist. Sandra is our camera lady and Dennis is our editor. I couldn't have done it without them. Thank you.